Would you all pray with me?
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. As has been advertised, today I'm beginning my Lent Sunday school and sermon series titled In the Wilderness. Those of you who came to Sunday school this morning got some explanation of my reasoning behind this series, but I feel like it could bear repeating. See, I believe that the church, what many call the capital C church, which includes Catholics, Protestants, Methodists, Baptists, you name it, all Christians, I believe the entire church finds ourselves in the wilderness. I say this because no one is really sure where ministry or where church or where we're headed. With COVID mostly behind us and with the mess we find ourselves in now, a lot of conversations in churches revolve around the fact that we don't know what the job pastor will look like in 5 years. Think about if you would have asked a pastor what pastoring the next 5 years in 2020 would look like. We don't know what church will look like. It might look a lot the same, or it could look very different. I just don't know. But at the end of the day, the church has moved from a place of knowing what to do to a place of not knowing what to do, where there really isn't a completely obvious way forward. In times before me, as many of you can attest, the 70s and the 80s and 90s were filled with churning out disciple after disciple with a curriculum for every grade level and virtually every stage of life. Keep that machine going, and that's how you grew. Meal after potluck, after service, after event. That's what church was. Everything will be fine. But now it's a bit different, isn't it? We're a bit different. The church doesn't occupy the same space in public life anymore, and in some ways that's good, but in others it has made us retreat. And the fact is, a lot of people aren't coming to terms with this new reality of ministry because feeling like you're in the wilderness is hard. Going from a place of knowing what to do to a place of not knowing what to do makes you feel lost. And no one likes to feel like they're lost. No one likes to have anything less than a clear and obvious way forward. Being in true wilderness is really, really scary. You know, feeling truly lost in the wilderness, not having any idea where we're going, that's a feeling we don't feel a lot anymore, like Dave mentioned. We have GPSs everywhere we go. We're connected to cell towers almost everywhere. The suburban trails we explore in town aren't really wilderness. They're cultivated nature walks. This day and age, we hardly ever find ourselves in true wilderness without directions or a compass to guide us at all. But that's exactly how the Israelites found themselves in the book of Exodus, once they were liberated from Egyptian captivity and began their journey to the promised land. They made their way forward, not really knowing where they were going, but knowing where they had been. So as we find ourselves in the wilderness of our own, I think there's much to learn from the Israelites who spent 40 years in the wilderness. Are you sold on it? Are you looking forward to it? You don't have to lie. That's okay. But before we embark on our journey in the wilderness, which I think we're already there, I have a confession to make. I'm not the biggest outdoorsman. You won't find me willingly hiking or canoeing or cave diving, exploring any of that stuff. But believe it or not, I have found myself in the wilderness before. I want to tell you about my experience in the wilderness. I was on a CBF Fellows trip in the fall with my fellow early career pastors that I mentioned last week. And I shared an Uber with my friend Corellis to the Atlanta airport. Our Uber arrived at the hotel just before 5 a.m., and we hopped in and we took a quiet drive to the airport drop-off line. We get there, we hop out, and we start walking to the security line when I go to pull out my boarding pass on my phone. I reach down and I pat my right pocket, and it's empty. Okay. Start patting my left pocket, it's also empty. Start patting like I've got bugs all over me. Pockets I didn't knew existed, apparently. And I say, oh, my phone's in that Uber that just drove away. Thankfully, Corellis, he booked the Uber. So we were able to get in touch with the driver who said, yeah, I just booked a 45-minute ride. I can be back in an hour and a half. Corellis had to board his flight. We were already pushing his kind of close. So that left me sitting in the drop-off line at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport with no way to reach the man who had my ticket home. All I could do was sit there and wait for an hour and a half until that red Honda pulled up. For those of you who aren't digital natives, please understand that I've never had to travel without a cell phone. Never. And all of a sudden, I didn't have my GPS, I didn't have my boarding pass, I didn't have my contact with the outside world, I didn't have most of what I needed to get where I was going. I got my phone back, don't worry. But there was something I learned in that long hour and a half. While I was waiting, I learned that you don't have to necessarily feel lost to feel like you're in the wilderness. See, despite the fact that I was surrounded by many people and I knew exactly where I was, a lot of them probably willing to help me too, I was in my own wilderness. It didn't look like the wilderness, Atlanta Airport, but it felt like one. Even though I knew exactly where I was, I did not have a clear way forward. I was unsure of where I was going, and I didn't know how I was going to get there. And that, wherever you are, whether you're here at Village, whether you're sitting at home, whether you're at work, or whether you're at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, that is a scary feeling. In today's scripture passage, Moses finds himself in his own wilderness, both literally and metaphorically. He's literally in the wilderness keeping the flock of his father-in-law. And any married man in here can attest to how nerve-wracking it is to try and do anything for your father-in-law. But Moses is in a different kind of wilderness as well, a wilderness of self-definition and self-discovery. In the chapters before this, as he grew into his self-understanding as an Israelite, Moses saw firsthand the effects of a Pharaoh who said, Egypt first, to the detriment of the Israelites. Moses heard the cries of those around him and one day stumbled onto an Egyptian beating an Israelite, one of his kinfolk. Then in a fit of righteous anger and thinking no one sees him, Moses kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand. The next day, after breaking up a fight between two of his fellow Israelites, he receives not a thank you very much, but a tongue lashing. One of the Israelites say to him, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? What are you going to do, kill me like you did the Egyptian? This rejection, along with the danger he's in because Pharaoh finds out that he's killed an Egyptian, is what makes Moses embark on his journey into the literal and metaphorical wilderness. Moses even names his son Gershom, which means alien, because as he says, quote, I have been an alien residing in a foreign land. So as we continue reading, there's no reason for us to expect that this day would be anything but a normal day. See, many of us know that something extravagant is coming up because we know this story. But imagine, if you will, reading it for the first time. And if you are today, that's even better. Out of complete and utter normalcy in the wilderness does God appear to Moses in the burning bush. Moses wasn't seeking God. God was seeking out Moses. God sought out Moses and appeared to him in the burning bush and let him know that the wilderness he found himself in was holy ground. And in this passage, we discover something really profound. We learn today that the wilderness isn't a place of abandonment, but it's instead a place where we meet God. Like Moses, we can easily think we're alone in the wilderness with no way out. But it was there in the wilderness, in the midst of his uncertainty and his weariness and his doubt, it was there that God showed up in a burning bush and transformed that barren wilderness into holy ground. This means that the wilderness, no matter how lost we feel, is sacred because God is already here with us. We don't have to find our way to encounter God. God is already present here where we are, ready to lead us through the wilderness, even if it takes 40 years. The wilderness is holy ground, friends, because God is out here, and that changes everything about it. So I want to ask you if you've ever stopped to consider that the wilderness you find yourself in right now is holy ground. Maybe it's a wilderness of self-discovery as you navigate a major life transition. Perhaps it's a wilderness of vocation where the future of your career feels uncertain and or unclear. Or maybe it's a literal wilderness. Finding yourself in a new place surrounded by unfamiliarity with nothing to anchor you. It could be a wilderness of grief when you're learning how to live with someone you love. It might be a wilderness of doubt where your faith feels shaky and unsure. Maybe it's a wilderness of loneliness where you feel disconnected from everyone around you. Or maybe it's a wilderness of waiting where you're in a season of anticipation, unsure of what happens next. In any of these moments, the wilderness is not just a place of confusion, of loss, but a place where God can show up in unexpected and powerful ways. And as a church, I think this should correct the way we view our wilderness journey together. See, Moses didn't leave the wilderness the same way he entered it. No, he was called into a new mission, he was given new direction, and received a new vision for God's people, the Israelites. And just like Moses, we find ourselves in the wilderness now, which means God has a purpose for us. We may not understand it fully at first, but when we lean into God's presence, we come out of the wilderness stronger and with greater clarity about who we are and what we're called to do together. So yes, we might be in the wilderness, but don't convince yourself we're alone out here. We might be in the wilderness, but don't convince yourself that God can't call us into a new age, a new way of ministry. We might be in the wilderness, but don't convince yourself that we're stuck out here or we won't be changed while we're out here. We can dream together today in the wilderness because we learn that God is out here with us. We learn that God hears us out here, and we learn of God's promise leading us out of the wilderness and into a good and spacious land, a land filled with milk and honey, the promised land. So, as I said at the beginning of this sermon, I believe that as individuals and as a church, we're making our way through the wilderness. I believe with every step we can feel the dust swirling around our feet, just like the thoughts swirling in our minds. I'm sure you can feel it, just like you can feel the air is heavy with unanswered questions of who we are, who we're going to be, and where we're going. We've got a long journey ahead of us. And to be quite frank, I don't know where we're headed. But now, right now, just like Moses, we hear a voice. Not from afar, not loudly, but closely. Still and small voice. Not from a distance, but right here in the wilderness with us. And that changes everything. Now we can know the wilderness isn't a place of isolation. It's not a place of abandonment, and it doesn't have to be a place of fear. Now we know that the wilderness is a place where we encounter God. God's holy presence transforms what was once barren and desolate into a space and a land that is sacred and holy. And that's the lesson for us today, friends. When we are in the wilderness, whether we are wandering in uncertainty, grappling with doubt, or feeling lost, God is not distant. Even in the places where we think we're furthest from God, God can show up and turn those places into holy ground. So no matter where we find ourselves, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, God can meet us there and call us to something greater and more beautiful than we've ever imagined. So today, whether you find yourself in the wilderness, whether it's a wilderness of doubt, fear, or change, remember this. God has already set this ground apart. This is holy ground you stand on right now. And it's holy because God is here. You don't have to find your way out first. You don't have to have it all figured out. The wilderness doesn't have to look like what you expected it to for God to meet you here. So even in your confusion, even in your weariness, the ground beneath you is holy because God is here with you. And all you need to do is stop and take off your shoes, open your heart, and realize that this moment is sacred. So over the next 6 weeks, church, let's lean into the wilderness. Let's allow God to speak to us in ways we've never imagined. And let's trust that even and especially now, the wilderness we find ourselves in is holy ground. May it be so. Amen. During our final hymn, we open this space as a space of reflection and of joy as we all seek to learn and to discern where God is leading us in this next step of our lives through the wilderness and into the promised land. If you would please now rise in body or in spirit to sing number 168, I Take the Cross of Jesus Christ. Let us sing together.